Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power. Now I will sing a song for the one I love about his vineyard. My beloved has a vineyard on a rich and fertile hill. He plowed the land, cleared its stones, and planted it with choice vines. In the middle, he built a watchtower and carved a winepress in the nearby rocks. Then he waited for a harvest of sweet grapes, but the grapes that grew were wild and sour. Now, you people of Jerusalem and Judah, you have heard the case. You be the judges. What more could I have done to cultivate a rich harvest? Why did my vineyard give me wild grapes when I expected sweet ones? Now, this is what I am going to do to my vineyard. I will break down its walls. I will tear down its fences and let it be destroyed, and let the animals trample it. I will make it a wild place. I will not prune the vines or hoe the ground. I will let it be overgrown with briars and thorns. I will command the clouds to drop no more rain on it. This is the story of the Lord's people. They are the vineyard of the Lord Almighty. Israel and Judah are his pleasant garden. He expected them to yield a crop of justice, but instead he found bloodshed. He expected to find righteousness, but instead, he heard cries of oppression. Destruction is certain for you who buy up property so others have no place to live. Your homes are built on great estates so you can be alone in the land. But the Lord Almighty has sealed your awful fate. With my own ears, I heard him say, many beautiful homes will stand deserted. The owners dead or gone. 10 acres of vineyard will not produce even 6 gallons of wine. 10 measures of seed will yield only 1 measure of grain. Destruction is certain for you who get up early to begin long drinking bouts that last late into the night. You furnish lovely music and wine at your grand parties. The harps, the lyres, the tambourines, the flutes are superb, but you never think about the Lord or notice what he is doing. So I will send my people into exile far away because they do not know me. The great and honored among them will starve, and the common people will die of thirst. The grave is licking its chops in anticipation of Jerusalem, this delicious morsel. Her great and lowly will be swallowed up with all her drunken crowds. In that day, the arrogant will be brought down to the dust. The proud will be humbled, but the Lord Almighty is exalted by his justice. The holiness of God is displayed by his righteousness. In those days, flocks will feed among the ruins. Lambs and kids will pasture there. Destruction is certain for those who drag their sins behind them, tied with cords of falsehood. They even mock the Holy One of Israel and say, "Hurry up and do something. Quick, show us what you can do. We want to see what you have planned." Destruction is certain for those who say that evil is good and good is evil, that dark is light and light is dark, that bitter is sweet and sweet is bitter. Destruction is certain for those who think they are wise and consider themselves to be clever. Destruction is certain for those who are heroes when it comes up to drinking, who boast about all the liquor they can hold. They take bribes to pervert justice. They let the wicked go free while punishing the innocent. Therefore, they will all disappear like burning straw. Their roots will rot and their flowers wither, for they have rejected the law of the Lord Almighty. They have despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. That is why the anger of the Lord burns against his people. That is why he has raised his fist to crush them. The hills tremble, and the roaring bodies of his people, the rotting bodies of his people, are thrown as garbage into the streets. But even then, the Lord's anger will not be satisfied. His fist is still poised to strike. He will send a signal to the nations far away. He will whistle to those at the ends of the earth, and they will come racing toward Jerusalem. They will not get tired or stumble. They will run without stopping for rest or sleep. Not a belt will be loose, not a sandal thong broken. Their arrows will be sharp and their bows reach and ready for battle. Sparks will fly from their horses' hooves, and their wheels of their chariots spin like the wind. Roaring like lions, they will pounce on their prey. They will seize my people and carry them off into captivity, and no one will be there to rescue them. The enemy nations will growl over their victims like the roaring of the sea. A cloud of darkness and sorrow will hover over Israel. The clouds will blot out the light. Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I am Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. It's good to be with you this morning. I am reading something that began a few days ago with an article from one of the journalists out of CBN. CBN is the Christian Broadcasting Network, Pat Robertson. They have an excellent news source. It's worthy news. It's accurate news. It's authentic news. And one of their journalists wrote an article about Isaiah chapter 5. So I became interested in that article. And he warned, like we do in times past and still do today, that the very things that were written in Isaiah chapter 5 against Jerusalem, against Israel, are the very things that are being written against the United States of America. For we have done what? We have committed the same exact crimes that they have committed. We have done the same exact thing. And as I was sharing with my beloved wife this morning, Patricia, out of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I'd like to read just a few verses to you and say, well, why do we start out in the Old Covenant reading these things? Well, listen to this address by the Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth, which is a which would be considered a Gentile church. This was not the Jewish. This was Corinthians. They were like people from Las Vegas. I mean, they were sinners extraordinaire, right? And I only use that as a symbol. Well, here's what he writes to the church at Corinth. I don't want you to forget, dear brothers and sisters, what happened to our ancestors in the wilderness long ago. So one has to stop for a moment and ask the question, why would the Apostle Paul not want a New Testament believer to forget what happened to their ancestors long ago? Spiritual ancestors in many ways, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, the 12 tribes of Israel, right? That's what he's referring to. And he said he doesn't want them to forget what happened. He said, God guided all of them by sending a cloud that moved along ahead of them, and he brought them all safely through the waters of the sea on dry ground. As followers of Moses, they were all baptized in the cloud and the sea, and all of them ate the same miraculous food, and all of them drank the same miraculous water, for they all drank from the miraculous rock that traveled with them, and that rock was Christ. Yet, after all this, God was not pleased with most of them, and he destroyed them in the wilderness. These events, listen to what the apostle says, these events happened as a warning to us, so that we would not crave evil things as they did, or worship idols as some of them did. For the scriptures say, the people celebrated with feasting and drinking, and they indulged themselves in pagan rivalry and or revelry. And we must not engage in sexual immorality as some of them did, causing 23,000 of them to die in one day. Nor should we put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and then died from snake bites. And don't grumble, as some of them did, for that is why God sent his angel of death to destroy them. And Paul says in verse 11, all these events happened to them as examples for us. They were written down to warn us who live at the time when this age is drawing to a close. Now, I find it very interesting that there have been many ages in the dispensation of God, in the eons of time, in the epochs of time, in the millennia gone by. There have been many dispensations. There have been many ages. There have been many day of the Lords. There have been many days of tribulation. One only has to look back to Sodom and Gomorrah to see a day of tribulation on the earth, or the days of Noah as a time of great tribulation, or the destruction of the temple for the Jewish people in 586 BC to realize that was a day of the Lord. And you go throughout time, you go throughout history, you search history, and you find again and again and again and again that God has been ever present in the affairs of men. To that there is no doubt. And the very things that were written concerning the people of God, particularly Israel in the wilderness, the Apostle Paul's telling the New Testament church that those things were written for our learning, for our example, for patterns unto us, that we would not make the same mistakes. Why? Because Paul is confirming that God of the Old Testament is God of the New Testament. And the way that God dealt with people in the Old Covenant is the way that God will deal with people in the New Covenant. What is the difference? The covenant is different. Rather than the covenant based in law, we have a covenant of grace. In other words, under the law, when you broke the law, when you sinned against God, we see what happens. The same thing will happen to us. The difference is when we confess our sin and we trust Jesus Christ, his blood and his work on Calvary's cross forgives us, restores us, renews us. We have grace given to us. But that grace is not given to a disobedient people who willfully sin against the Lord. If we do the same thing that Israel did in their defiance of God and their rebellion against God, was what we read in Isaiah chapter 5, we would not even experience the grace of God unless we confessed our sin. So even though we're a new covenant people, if we become defiant and rebellious individually, we will be dealt with even as God dealt with people in the Old Testament. However, if we confess, God will not only forgive us, but he will cleanse us of the unrighteousness and bring us into a further state of transformation, allowing us to be conformed into the image of his first son, Jesus Christ. And this is a very powerful reality. We boast a new covenant of grace, and yet we think that that grace is for our defiance or rebellion against God, and it's not. And our country, the United States of America, is a country that is very much like with what God did with Israel when he took them out of Egypt. He brought them through the wilderness. He established them in the land of promise. Well, for the United States of America, God delivered a people out of the oppression that was going on in the European continent, and God brought people overseas into this land. And this wilderness was a howling wilderness of Indians and harsh weather and all kinds of different issues. But the land was a good land. And throughout the journey of the pilgrims and the pioneers who came to our country, they forged a way. And the trailblazers went before them and the discoverers went out into the land. And people came to this North American continent, and it seemed to have a preservation about it. It was a fruitful land, a bountiful land, a land flowing literally with milk and honey. And like the Israelis who came out of Egypt and went through the howling wilderness of their times, they eventually were established in the promised land. And God brought people to this land, and the people that came to this land covenanted with Yahweh to give God the glory, and they erected crosses, and they built churches, and their government was based upon the word of God. And this we know as a fact, but we also know that there were two trees in the midst of the garden. The one tree was a tree of life. The other tree was a knowledge of good and evil, and people came to this land, to Jamestown, for gold. They came when they heard there was a fertile ground to take possession of the resources and make money. But the earliest of the pioneers came here. The real founding fathers of the United States, who made a covenant on the shores of this nation to dedicate this land to Jesus Christ. That is the truth. And it's just interesting to me as we're coming towards the Festival of Thanksgiving, where a people within this nation would give thanks to God for what he gave us. And like the Israelis of old that came and were established, this nation became a nation known by the Supreme Court as a Christian nation. We were also called a Judeo-Christian nation because many of the Jewish people came to this nation. It's a truth. It's factual. It's satisfactual. Come on. It is the absolute, unadulterated truth that America, in its beginning, which was named after a man by Mr. Amerigo, which was an Italian, and that's another whole story, we could get to that. But the fact remains that everything about America in its choicest origin was Christ. That people came here for the fresh air of liberty to worship God without the state controlling them. The people that came here were not Muslims. They were not Buddhists. They were not Hindus. The people that discovered this land by the glory of God, who went through a great tribulation of crossing the Atlantic Ocean, who went through a great tribulation and harsh weather and harsh winters and Indian attacks and so on and so forth. These people were Christians. They were born again, spirit-filled Christians who loved God and loved the Lord. And they found God's grace and mercy, and they persevered through harshness, and they established this land. And then, yes, when the people, when the word got out and wind got out, there was prosperity and gold and resources and abundance and treasures, and people were coming here and starting a fresh life, a new life, with a fresh vision of worshiping God. They weren't bringing Buddhists and Muslims over here to worship their gods. It was God's people that wanted liberty to worship their God without the state interfering or an ecclesiastical religious order quenching the Spirit of God, which normally happens. The people that came here were filled with the Holy Spirit of the living God. And regardless how many people want to change our history, that is the fact. Jack, that is a fact of reality. The United States of America began with the fresh scent of liberty of the Holy Spirit that empowered people and dedicated them to the cause of establishing in place a promised land, just like Israel, who was in bondage for 400 and some odd years in Egypt, and they finally came out with a vision of a land that God had promised to Abraham 430 years earlier, and that they, the children of Abraham, were going to go in and take possession of that land. And the people that came here took possession of this land, and all of a sudden the entrepreneurial spirit began to abound, and people came and they found freedom and liberty, and we drew up a constitution, and we fought a revolutionary war against those that wanted to possess this nation and to take hold and to keep captive the people. That's the truth of our nation. Was there another truth? Yes, not a different truth. I mean, they're both true. There was another side to the truth, that there were people that did come for greed and covetousness to that. There's no doubt. There was even a Masonic reality where they wanted to come and set up their agenda in the nation. There were two trees in the garden. You cannot dismiss the biblical Christian reality from the United States of America, and we will not dismiss the greedy, covetous reality of the secret societies that had their tentacles and their roots going deep into the society. The question is, and was back then, what tree will you eat from? What tree will you eat from? So, God, in Isaiah chapter 5, is telling the story about a vineyard. He's planting a vineyard. And he said that Israel was his vineyard. Just like America was a vineyard to God. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The whole earth belongs to God. And while he chose Jerusalem thousands of years ago for the Jewish people, he owns the entire universe, and he had this land separated, and the Indians, unfortunately, were worshiping idols and spirits and false gods, and they were uneducated in many places. I'm not saying that was the whole truth, nothing but the truth. There may have been those that understood, had an epiphany of Jesus Christ, but God did bring his people, and we have stories of the Indians that were helping them and got born again, and you know, the rich history, the fertile soil of what the United States of America was all about. And then one only has to go forward from the planting of the nation to see that our entire Constitution, our Bill of Rights, the reason for freedom of speech was the church over in Europe was quenching the voice of those that would cry out for liberty and the word of God, because the ecclesiastical order was controlling the flow of the Spirit. So they wanted freedom of speech so that they could speak the word of God as the Spirit revealed it unto them. They wanted liberty. They didn't want to just mouth what the leaders told them to speak, what the scribes wanted them to say, what the Pharisees wanted them to say. No, they wanted freedom, and they wanted the right to bear arms in this country as well, so that they could stand up and fight against any oppressive power that would bring them back into bondage. It's so obvious. It's so clear what the original intent was. The people of America wanted to live out loud and in the freedom. Now, the people that came for covetousness and greed and to take over the resources and control the power, there's always been money hungry, greedy, rotten people from the beginning of time, from Cain and Abel, because of the satanic influence. There's always been that. And there was a struggle in this nation for hundreds of years. We struggled as a people to maintain the liberty, and that with our Constitution and our growing government and so on and so forth, we maintained twice in the history of this nation, the Supreme Court of the United States deemed us to be a Christian nation. But something happened like around 1913 when one of our presidents sold us out to the New World Order. When we gave over our sovereignty to something called the Internal Revenue Service, the IRS, we begin to give foreign powers legal access into our nation, where there was never a tax that was required upon the people, certainly not a tax collection agency from foreign powers and the foreign banks that would loan the nation money, and then we would have to pay interest to the foreign banks. We, the people, that was not our gig. That was the government's gig. So the government maintained a posture of continuing to tax the people. So the government that borrowed the money from the foreign banks would continually pay the debt to the IRS. And we all became the servants and the slaves of a government very subtly. And before you know it, over time, we have come into a place of absolute unadulterated, unfettered bondage again. And isn't that sad? Because that's not what was intended. And yet we, the people, have allowed our government to grow into a power just like the power that our fathers fled from. And we were sold out. And we are a generation so disconnected from our historical reality that we don't know what the heck is going on. This generation thinks that the world has always been this way. In one generation, the mind of the masses think that this country's always been the way it is. Men marry men, women marry women, people, ladies kill their babies in the womb and shed innocent blood. Pornography runs rampant. This craziness in the judiciary is always, it's never been like this. But in one generation, the floodgates of hell opened up in our nation, and we've been flooded, and we are a nation drowning literally in the perdition, in the destructiveness of satanic fervor. We are a generation and a nation that has been subjugated to powers that were never intended to be here. What has happened to us? I mean, it's so despairing. So despairing. And the people that know what I'm saying are getting older and older and less capable of doing anything about it. And the young people are being so mind controlled to observe the powers and principalities of the demonic that they're not going to be able to resist anything. And before you know it, the biblical narrative is going to come in. Now, what do you think God feels about America? Does he feel any different about a Judeo-Christian nation that covenanted with him through the blood of his son than he did Israel of old? And we just read in 1 Corinthians that the way that God dealt with them is the exact way he will deal with us. So what is it? And I believe what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, as we have seen many blows upon our nation in this generation. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, if you just mark one generation from 1961, and I know there were influences like rock and roll that were coming in the 50s, and, you know, I know there was a struggle there. There's always been a struggle, the roaring 20s. There's always been a struggle, but we have never, ever, ever seen within our government and within our society what is taking place today. But in one generation, we opened the doors and we have been absolutely blindsided And the young people, will they stand? Will they rise in the authority and the authenticity of the gospel of Jesus Christ and turn the nation? Or will Peter Bittigue, the married man to another man who just won Iowa, he just took the lead by 16% in Iowa, talking to a friend of ours yesterday at the radio program whose son is a congressman who knows more about politics than most of us will ever know, couldn't believe that Bittigue, because he deems him to be the most articulate guy out there, he can't imagine that the country is ready, and said, "My God, if he wins, I'm out of here." What's he saying? Who is Peter Bittigue, the mayor of Indiana? Who is he? He's coming on the world stage at the same time that the transgender movement is sweeping the nation. When men who are dressed like women are showing their crotch to little boys and girls, where girls that look exactly and talk exactly like men are inspiring the minds of children in our nation, rather than the gospel of Jesus Christ influencing their minds, we have the world and every satanic thing doing it, and the elder people in this country do nothing, zero, zip about the problem, and just hope someday it'll work itself out somehow. But it doesn't really matter as long as we get what we want for ourselves. Shouldn't this be a moment of concern for you, for me, for our nation? It is a concern. I mean, doesn't it anger you that the children in our country are being told and their brains being downloaded with information that mommy and daddy and turn yourself to a boy and gender identity and gender this, doesn't it concern you? It's not stopping. Where does it end? And yet they say that the bad thing was having the Bible in school to influence the mind of our children. Oh, God forbid that the Bible would influence anybody. God forbid. Well, that's kind of where I want to start the broadcast today. I don't know where you are, but maybe you could help me, you know, because I'm just kind of, I'm finding it hard to believe. And if you have any questions or comments, you always know to call into the broadcast at 818-369-0326. You could press 1 on your dial pad, but my question is, what do you do? What do we do as a nation right now? The impeachment inquiries, what the heck is that all about? I'll tell you what it's about. The only opportunity that we have right now is to get behind Donald Trump and let the man bulldoze, right? That's what we've been told. That's what we believe. Let the man lead a revolution. Have we stopped praying for him? Have we stopped supporting him? Have we grown suspicious of him because of the people on the left constantly undermining this man or his administration? Where are we right now with less than a year before the next election? The 2020, right? So we finally have an opportunity for a man to lead a revolution. Are we ready for the revolution? Will the young people support the revolution? Are the elderly people that are getting there, you know, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90s, you know, how long, how much vim, how much vigor do you have to support a revolution against evil? Why? What are the impeachment inquiries all about? They are designed to get this man out of the way and his administration by a threefold attack. And I believe God revealed this, and I believe it's true. The threefold attack against Donald Trump is the left, the globalist, and the establishment. And the establishment is what the good old boy club is all about, the Republicans, who've always had their man in the position of power. They always put their people where they want them to be to control things, because as long as the establishment has their people, they will continue to fleece the flock in America. And the left, they're just going so far socialistically, they don't want capitalism, they don't want any of that. They want to take over the reins with socialism and communism, and they are connected to the third group, the globalist. this moment for this country, a three-pronged attack, and there's probably other prongs on it. I've seen three. The left, the globalist, and the establishment. Donald J. Trump, president of the United States, is contrary to every one of them. I don't care about his tweets. I hope he tweets twice as much. Let the man loose. But the establishment wants a controlled vessel, a polished politician, doesn't care if they're Democrat or Republican. And I wouldn't be surprised by the end of this matter if the Republicans are not undermining and betraying their own party because they don't like the man because he's not cooperative with the establishment. We know the left, they're wide out in the open right now. Wide out in the open. They'll do anything, and so will the globalists standing by. What is the globalist dream all about? Well, they're all satanic, but we do know that the time is coming, the Bible prophecy will be fulfilled, that there will be a one-world government under the absolute control of Lucifer himself. Globalization, socialism, communism, all of it, greedy capitalism, are all contrary to the original intent of this nation. We were blessed when we exalted Jesus Christ in our nation. The only time the United States of America was blessed is when the people of the United States of America exalted righteousness. And when you exalt righteousness, which is not an abstract opinion of what you think it is or I think it is, but when genuine, authentic, true righteousness, which is in a person, is exalted in the person of Jesus Christ, then came the floodgates of heaven to bless this nation. And we may have a lot of stuff right now because of the overflow of the abundant blessings, but the blessing of heaven is not upon our nation anymore. Babylon had a bunch of stuff, but it did not have the blessing of heaven. And very soon, according to the Isaiah chapter 5 prophecy, these grand estates, these many homes, this wealth, this abundance is going to be desolate. God has a fist, according to Isaiah 5, and he's going to strike with his fist against what's going on in this country, just like he did against his own people, Israel, in his own capital, Jerusalem, even amongst his own people, Judah. He's going to strike with his fist. And we don't get that because we've taken God like people around us and made him effeminate. We made God a lover and only a lover. He only loves. He's so tolerant. What a blasphemy. What a blasphemy. And people say, well, you're being harsh. No, I'm not being harsh. I'm not being harsh enough. I can't believe this nation is in the condition that it's in. I mean, I didn't know any better when I was a sinner. I get that. You know, sinners need to come to, you know, an understanding that, wow, man, I was on the wide road to destruction. I was ready to go straight into eternal destruction. But God saved me by grace and through faith and by the work of the cross. Praise God. Now I'm a different person. I understand some things. But what's happening to our country? We're salt. We're light. And so here we are. I've got a call coming in right now from area code 479-238. I'm so thankful to get some help from the voice of many waters out there. Good morning, 479-238. You are on the air. Welcome to the broadcast.
Good morning, Pastor. You know, Sir Edmund Burke said that evil prevails when good men do nothing. And when you were speaking of the congressman a minute ago, you know, we already know where the left is and where they're going. We already know where the left is and where they're going. But when it comes to the so-called right or the Republican, you know, when they don't say anything, then basically what they don't say speaks louder than what they can say. When they don't say anything, then they're in agreement with the left. They're in agreement, lockstep with the left. You have a handful of guys on the right that are speaking out and saying this is a sham. Just a small minority, right? But the rest of them are standing back being silent. Well, the reason they're being silent is because they want Trump gone, because with him in there, all of a sudden their money pot or honey hole is dried up with all this foreign money coming in and all the rest of that stuff.
Absolutely right. And so this is the love of money is the root of all evil, right?
That's correct. And when they don't say anything, that's because they know that they're giving up what, or they're not getting what they wanted in the first place. So when they stand back and don't say something, understand they're really on the left. They really do not want Trump to succeed.
Right. And, you know, we're talking about earthly politics here. I think you and I and a lot of people listening right now, we understand that our citizenship is in heaven. Our king is Jesus Christ. He's the crowned eternal king. We follow him regardless of what men say. But on this earth, I'm going to have to tone you down for just a moment here. On this earth, we are to be salt and we are to be light. And within the economy of a Christian nation, Christian people should exalt the laws of Christ and the laws of righteousness. And we have just been turned so far away. I mean, you look at our country and you see that we are no different than the Roman Empire in its heyday when, you know, the Colosseums were there, sport was there, the Grecian Empire, the Olympics were there. You know, we're no different than other empires, and we've just morphed into the very thing that we were warned against morphing into. I'll give you a final word before we get rolling here.
Yeah, exactly, Pastor. And God's economy, you and I are the kings and queens, okay? The hierarchy of God in God's economy. He's put us in a position of authority in his economy. But in their economy, we're the pawns on the chessboard. And the people that think that they're the big shots, that the hierarchy, the so-called elite, the media moguls, the entertainment moguls, the politicians, they think that they're the kings and queens. What they don't understand, Pastor, is all they are is a rook on a chessboard. They're not even a knight or a bishop. They're just a rook. All they can do is go left and right or front and back. That's it. And they are just one step above a pawn, and they're disposable. Okay? They don't understand that. And they think that they're going to have control or power. They don't realize that Satan doesn't share his glory with nobody.
Well, that's the truth. You got that right. And, you know, wouldn't it be a shame, and thank you for that call, wouldn't it be an absolute shame? You know, and I think a lot of Christians fear this. Maybe this is a concern that rolls around in the back of your brain sometimes. You're sitting there thinking, you know, I'm kind of afraid to really go 100% behind the president of the United States, Donald J. Trump, because what if, after all, at the end of the day, he's guilty? What if at the end of the day, he's shown to be other than the man of God that was brought for the for such a time as this to the throne of God's power? What if he's different? You know, and I think that may happen in a lot of people's minds. But, you know, I console myself this way by thinking of the words of Jesus when he said, Satan cannot fight Satan, because if Satan fights Satan, he's going to be destroyed. So I think about all these movements, that three-pronged attack of globalization, the establishment, the left, attacking this man. Well, if he was really one of their own, it would either be the greatest show on earth, the greatest show on earth, the greatest form of propaganda. And you could stretch your mind and think, well, maybe this whole thing is propaganda to the world powers out there to make sure, to make them think. But no, it can't be that way, where you were just fooling people out there, because the disservice that's being done within our nation to bring division within our own society, that we see people bloodied for wearing a MAGA hat or something like that. No, it would be a really bad deal if they did that. It would be like a 9/11 sacrifice, you know? So this is a really bad, bad deal. And I've got a couple more calls coming in. I'm going to take those calls right now. But I think we need to find a way through this stuff. Let's take our first call that came in. Area code 605. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning. Yes, this was excellent information that you've been giving
out concerning the establishment of our country, America. And then, strange thing happened this morning. I'm up having my coffee, and I've got some magazines from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I'm calling from South Dakota. And it was from the Chamber of Commerce. I opened it up, and it's about how that particular organization, you're saying, what can we do? We've got homeless people. We've got people coming off of drugs and alcohol. And our nation is just inundated with people that are just, they have needs, and they don't get the help to get out of it so they can live a decent, holy life for the Lord after they've probably even been in prison. So, actually, this article, and Brother, I want to send this to you, so I will do that. But this Chamber of Commerce that is located in Sioux Falls, they have built apartments. It's called Glory House Apartments for the people that are coming out of these conditions that they're in. Now they have to build another one called Building Hope. And I thought, my God, you know what? There is a scripture, and I don't know where this is, but it says, without a vision, the people perish. And I thought, my God, God gave this to these people here that are working with the Chamber of Commerce about a vision, how to help these people come out of these lifestyles that have been a detriment to their life. And so then I kept reading the article, and then at the very end, it was a quote from one of our former presidents, John F. Kennedy, and here's what he stated. He says, change is the law of life. And those who look only to the past or present are certain to miss the future. And I thought, well, what does that all mean? You know, and I thought, what is the future for America? God is going to transform this whole thing with the glory of God? Or I know the judgment's coming, but I'd just like to hear what you got on that.
You know, what I'm standing on in my heart, I really believe that I keep getting the visual of God's fist. And, you know, there comes a breaking point for everything, right? I mean, when things, whether the potter and the clay, whether the vessel is marred and God wants to break it, or God wants to move his hand against a nation or a people, I believe that the fist of God is clenched. I believe that God is angry every day at the wicked. The word says that. I believe that the sins of America have gone so far that there's a massive delusion over the minds of the masses. And the only way to help this nation is to strike it. I really believe that. There needs to be a breaking of the chains, a breaking of the prison doors, a breaking of the spell off of the minds of people. There needs to be an awakening. We saw it on 9/11. 9/11/2001 was something that actually woke up the nation. I mean, the alarm sounded, and we woke up for a moment, and for a brief moment, we saw, and we attempted to come together, and then everything went into the power control, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and look where we are now. It's worse now than when it was in 9/11/2001. Our nation has crossed more lines against God than then, so how can we think that the fist of God is going to be put away? I don't see that. I see an utter blow against the United States of America, and I believe that in the midst of that, the remnant of God, those who know their God and understand these times, will walk very closely to him, very carefully with him, very cautiously with him, and they will enter into their chamber. They will shut the door until the indignation be overpassed. They will have been obedient to prepare their arks wherever they were and to have done what God warned them to do, so that when the storm breaks and this powder keg blows and that fist strikes, there will be opportunity for people to navigate through a very difficult time of the greatest nation, sovereign nation, breaking and then coming under the lasso of a one-world government, which the Bible has warned us about for a long, long time. So that's my take on it.
Okay. So now, okay, I also believe that there is a wrath side to God, just like there's two sides to a coin. And we will have that coming. So I don't know the time period here that we – there must be something God is trying to get God's people – lined up into, so that we can help or whatever is going to be developing.
Yeah, absolutely. We need to help one another. I'll tell you that. And Kathy, thank you so much for the call. I've got a little bit of time left and another call coming in. God bless you for your comments. And yes, I hear your heart. There's got to be something that God wants us to do. And we need to find out what it is. What we've heard for years, build an ark, prepare for the collapse. I don't know. If we don't like that idea, we may want to get involved in other things, but that's what we've all heard, and we've just been about our Father's business in preparing so that maybe we will be able to help others in the day of the collapse. Let's take our next call coming in from 479-855. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast.
Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning, Pastor.
You've got a great deal going on here, a lot of thought coming out of this, and I thought it was well done. You know, I can't help but think of what has destroyed this country the most is the art of compromise. When you compromise on something, you're giving up on what you believe is the truth and watering it down to appease some other people that are against what you believe. If we believe in the Bible and what this country founded upon, all the precepts in it, if they stood all the way through, we wouldn't be having the issues today that we have had. We would have continued to grow in great prosperity and done many, many, many mighty things through the power of God because we had His word first. So when we stop compromising and allowing that to be chipped away little by little, it just begins to grow like a great storm, like a great tornado, destroying what we originally have. And what we have now is nowhere near what we had when we first founded this country and created the Constitution that we have. That was a divine work by the Lord. And many of the precepts throughout the Constitution were taken from the Bible. Many don't want to admit that. But when you look at the wording on them, a lot of the words were taken right from the Bible as well and incorporated into the laws. So compromise is causing all kinds of chaos in this country, in this nation, and we are appeasing those who are ungodly, and that is the result. What we're seeing is the result of that today, the very things that you talked about, that Isaiah talked about in Isaiah 5, because we have given up what we believe to be true and did not stand up to the enemy.
Right, and Pastor Ken, as you're talking, I'm getting a visual, and you could maybe help me with this. What we need to understand in this earthen realm is that the United States of America is our house. Okay, so we were designed to be originally a sovereign, independent nation, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. So we are a nation. This is our house. Israel was called a house. They were a nation. There was a house of Israel. So in America, we have a house. And what's happening is mom is out in the living room with her pledge polish, and she's cleaning the table with her symphonic, beautiful music, maybe even worship music. And she's just cleaning the house, the living room. But in the other room, behind a closed door, her son is listening to rock and roll, snorting cocaine, getting his marijuana ready to go, listening to Black Sabbath or something like that. And then in the other room, their daughter is flirting with one of the boys in the neighborhood on the phone and talking about what they did last night. And then in the other room, dad happens to be watching pornography in his office behind closed doors. And my point is this, that in this house, there are people that think, what are you guys so concerned about? Look, we're listening to worship music. We got our churches. We're polishing the furniture. But in this house, we have situations going on where transgender people are teaching our kids, not babies, 6, 7, 8, 9-year-olds about transgenderism. We have homosexuality, lesbianism, freedom to kill babies and shed innocent blood, perversion. I mean, come on, Pastor Ken. This is what's happening in our country. In our house.
True. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you're up. Go ahead.
No, it's true what you're saying, but it came about from compromise. We allow these things to happen, and you know, we've heard it many times before, and we've just spoken of it recently. The church has been called the silent majority. That's because people did not stand up to compromise when it was beginning to be introduced. If they stood firm all the way through, we wouldn't be having these issues today. But we are, and we continue to compromise to appease all these other people. We've allowed all these laws to be passed in that are an abomination to God. And it's because of compromise. I can't get away from that very fact. And it's because the Christians, the church, did not stand up and speak forth what they believe and know was the truth of God. And you can see the result of it today.
All right. So in this house called America, there are Christian Americans who are the offspring of the founding fathers of this nation. That is a truth. That's a reality. And as such, as a Christian nation, Americans, you know, we used to feel when something like 26 people were shot and killed in Texas, 58 people were shot and killed in Las Vegas, Nevada, and that was in Texas at a church, by the way, a Baptist church. And then El Paso, Texas had the 13 people shot and killed, and Dayton, Ohio, and Parkland, Florida, 9/11. In other words, when something went wrong in a part of the country, we all were concerned. The news media brought it out there. The little kids that were killed in New Hampshire, wherever that was, where the kids were supposedly killed and shot to death, or whether it was in a theater, they would put it on the news so the nation would go, oh my God, look what happened in our country. And we're getting a little bit hardened to the fact, like last night, there were four people shot and killed in California who were watching a football game. Somebody ambushed them. Six were in the hospital. Four were killed the day before that. At a high school, two people were killed. And we look at that today and we're kind of like, well, that's not in my living room where I'm polishing, so it doesn't matter to me. But, the idea is, if the fist of God is to strike one of the rooms in the house, your son's room, for example, isn't the whole house going to feel it? You can't just go on cleaning your furniture with Pledge because it didn't happen to you. It just happened to your son. And there are things happening to our country that we should all be concerned about. And Pastor Ken, I'm going to take this next call coming in right now from area code 605. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Hello, Ken.
It turned out that God ended up with Sodom and Gomorrah. There was a warning given, and it turns out that point where they got cleared down to, if there's only 10 left, I will not destroy that country. And we are on that trip right now ourselves. How far do we have to go before we are beyond the point of no return? I was on a plane on the way to Hawaii, and the pilot came on and more or less said, we have passed the point of no return. In other words, he had enough fuel to continue the trip, but he didn't have enough fuel to go back. Have we crossed that point ourselves in this country, politically, financially, and God consciousness? I mean, we are just on this trip, and people don't recognize it. I talk to people, and they just are blind to what's happening.
Well, Ken, if you're asking me, I'll answer in the affirmative that absolutely 100% beyond the shadow of a doubt, we crossed the point of no return. I believe personally in 2003, the point of no return, but it didn't mean you immediately ran out of gas just because you crossed that point. We've been traveling since 2003 and our fuel has got less and less, and we're at the point where the fist of God is going to strike this nation. I believe that with all my heart, and I believe that it needs to happen. I believe we need a wake-up call, or that there's nothing going to wake us up. We're going back into captivity, and that which God had helped build, his vineyard, America's his vineyard, not our own. And I believe that the master of the vineyard is very upset. There's a parable in Matthew chapter 21 about the vineyard, and Jesus talks all about it. And it was a time when his words were fulfilled for that generation. and they will be fulfilled in our generation. I am so sorry. I've run out of time. I think you brought up a very powerful point about the point of no return. Time will tell. We've got today to live. Let's find out what God wants us to do. Are you prepared for the inevitable collapse of this country and nations around the world and the growing of a one-world empire? I hope you are. I hope you've taken it serious. Regardless, may God bless your day as you exalt Jesus Christ in your life. I'm Pastor Vince. Goodbye on YouTube and goodbye on Blog Talk Radio. And Omega Radio is broadcasting right now, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And here it goes, a roundtable discussion. You won't be disappointed. It's a great broadcast. Shalom.